And welcome back. And all right, hang on a second here. Technical difficulties. We've got. There we go. All right, sorry about. 4:35 in the Anchorage Bowl. This is the Aaron Selvig Show. We swear on Kudo 1080 AM, your progressive voice in Anchorage. And we bring you, as we do every Friday, the Demo Memo. Yes, it's time. We are joined in the studio by Senator Johnny Ellis. Johnny, happy day after Turkey Day.
Hey, Aaron. Hey, JR. This is going to be the tryptophan edition of the Demo Memo. And by that, I mean tryptophantastic.
And we're also joined on Johnny's left, no coincidence, or maybe it is, by Senator-elect, the victorious Bill Willikowski. Hey, Bill, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Great to be here, Aaron.
First of all, right off the bat, Senator-elect Willikowski, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
You're all smiles. We saw you on election night. You were all smiles as well, understandably. How does it feel?
Well, I'm still under the influence of the tryptophan, but it took me a little while to recover from. It was a tough election. I was running since January, and I'm finally starting to get rested up. I'm feeling great, though. I'm ready. I'm looking forward to getting down to Juneau.
There's a lot going on. There's a new governor going to be sworn in a week from Monday. Senator Ellis, you suggested for bumper music today, Changes by David Bowie. I think we might be able to hit you with that a little bit later. But that really is the theme right now.
Absolutely.
Changes definitely in the air.
I've got a smile on my face. Bill hasn't been able to stop smiling since election night. He was so nervous, and all of his hard work paid off. And this really is the chance where he gets to thank the people of the east side, northeast Anchorage, because they really came through 60% to 40%. It was a blowout.
Yeah. We worked so hard, and we got out there, and we had a positive message for the people of east Anchorage. And, yeah, I just want to thank everyone out there in east Anchorage and all over Anchorage for putting so much hard work into this election, and it feels great, and I'm excited about positive changes for East Anchorage and for all of Alaska.
Well, fantastic. We were really excited when we, at Election Central, to see that you were had won that race and won handily. Of course, I have to say it probably didn't hurt that your opponent claimed to live in a Chinese restaurant, but there was more to it than that. we thought you were a good candidate. We're glad you're headed down there. A lot going on, changes in the air, as we said. And Senator Ellis, really, probably nothing brings that forward as much as the new Senate majority that was forged. You were telling us a little bit about this last week, right after it had happened. But what we've got is we've got 9 Democrats, including
That's
yourself,
right. Correct.
And 5 Republicans that have formed a new Senate majority with Lyda Green as Senate president. Can you tell us a bit about how that deal was formed, how that was forged?
Well, it was creative. It really required people to step up and put aside partisanship and sort of take the message from the elections, from Sarah Palin's election and Democrats getting elected to many seats in the legislature. It was a pretty good night for reformers and for agents of change. And so I really credit Senator Green. She and I have been on opposite sides of many issues in the past, but she was willing to look at the big picture, set aside partisanship, and try and reach out to people on both sides of the aisle. So we call it not so much of a majority coalition, but a working group, a results-oriented group that has to put politics as usual by the wayside. And I'm just very excited about the prospect. Senator Green will continue to be a Republican. I will continue to be a Democrat. But we have agreed to try and put the interests of the state first, get a gas pipeline accomplished, figure out the common ground, all the positive things that we can do together, and to allow the Alaskan public to judge us on the results in 2 years. We think we'll have a good set of accomplishments.
Senator Johnny Ellis and Senator-elect Bill Willikowski are guests on the Demo Memo today. Phone lines are open for you, folks. If you've got a question or comment for these gentlemen, 929-5160, the telephone number. Senator-elect Willikowski, you are also a part of this new coalition. You're going into this new, you've never done this before. This is your first trip to Juneau. There's a lot of folks in this upcoming session. This will be their first trip to Juneau. But what do you think about this going in, this brand new coalition, where you could say the Democrats are in the majority.
Well, I couldn't be more happy about it. You know, it's as I went door to door and as I talked to people, people wanted people to work together. They wanted, I think what Alaskans are looking for are not Democrat solutions, not Republican solutions, but Alaskan solutions. And I think that's what we take out of this is we finally had an opportunity to go ahead and work not as Republicans or Democrats, but as Alaskans. And that's the message that I heard over again from the people in my district. And I'm just very pleased that we have an opportunity actually to go out there and be a part of the majority and work together and find solutions that will benefit all Alaskans.
We've been talking a lot about this New Deal on the show this week, Senator Ellis, and I have to say, kind of mixed reviews. I think in the end, most people came to the conclusion that, okay, well, it's either this or a Republican majority, and we've seen where that's gotten us, especially in the last few years. But a lot of people are concerned about Lyda Green as the Senate president. She's been a controversial figure in the past. She's been honestly a less than ethical senator in the past. Explain to us, if you can, how this balances out. You know, I think people are coming to the conclusion, progressives anyway, our listeners are coming to the conclusion that it is worth it. But some of them question the choice of Lyda Green as Senate president.
Well, I would appeal to folks to, see how it works out. Let us see what the results are going to be and what the working relationships are going to be. And definitely there are going to be bumps in the road and some frictions and that sort of thing. But I do credit people for achieving a level of political maturity where they can work together. Senator Green and I, like I said, have had our differences, but she was vying for Senate president along with Senator Jean Terrio.
Mm-hmm.
And Jean Terrio and I are more generationally alike. We were staffers together in a House Majority Coalition. We're the same age. We grew up in politics together, essentially. Went to Boy State together, for goodness sake.
Really?
So Jean Terrio and I are more alike on a number of issues and just our generational place in politics than I am with Senator Green. But Jean Terrio was trying to organize, it's no secret, he was trying to organize an all-Republican organization, which has been the case in the Senate for approaching two decades. And I've sat in the minority watching Republicans gang up or herd up together to run the Senate for mostly ill from my political viewpoint in the past. Senator Green was also interested in being Senate president, and like I said, she was willing to reach out to both sides of the aisle to put together a working group. So that was the alternative, an all-Republican organization that we've had for approaching two decades and all the bad consequences of that, or working with Senator Lyda Green on the common ground issues, like a gas pipeline, and setting aside the other stuff, and really putting together a good working group. So some of my civilian friends say, well, why didn't you see if Tom Wagner would be Senate president, or why didn't you make Hollis French the Senate president? Well, if you're on the inside and know the personalities and know the history and know what's possible, it was Jean Terrio in an all-Republican organization, or it was Lyda Green with the Democrats and the majority of the majority working with Republicans on common ground issues.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes down to the reality that civilians aren't familiar with, but those of us who were dealing with it know what the facts were, when it comes down to those two choices, the choice was clear. Let's try and do something new, something positive, something that hasn't been tried before in nearly 20 years, and it was worth a shot.
In this new Senate majority, Senator Ellis, will there be leadership positions for some of the nine Democrats that are aboard? And when will we know? When are those going to be announced? Do you know?
Well, it'll be early next week when there will be an announcement from the new Senate majority or the forming Senate majority of important committee assignments. All of the committee assignments aren't fleshed out, but next week you will hear an announcement of where various people, Republicans and Democrats, fit into the organization.
Anything for Hollis French?
Hollis French will play a pivotal role in the new majority.
Anything for Johnny Ellis?
Well, we are in line to be in positions to accomplish things with our Republican counterparts, so I think people will be pleased, but when I swear an oath, I keep an oath, and you won't know the details of that until next week.
Well, we can wait until next week. We've got to take a short break here. Senator Johnny Ellis and Senator-elect Bill Willikowski from the East Side. Can I get an East Side?
East Side?
There we go. Our guest today on the Demo Memo, 929-5160, the telephone number. Happy Black Friday, everybody. We love you. We'd love to hear from you. Give us a call. We're going to take a short break here. I promise we shall return. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Aaron Selbig Show on KUDO 1080 AM. Senator-elect Bill Willikowski and Senator Johnny Ellis are guests today for the Demo Memo. Phone lines are open for you at 929-5160. We'd love to hear from you if you've got a question or comment for your Alaska state legislators. Senator Ellis, Senator-elect Willikowski, this week, this show has been dominated by talk of what's been going on in the not-so-special session. You know, Johnny, I've lost count. Is it the third, fourth, ninth special session?
Came home from the fourth special session.
Wow.
The third for this year. There was one last year where Murkowski went after the retirement system and after injured workers under workers' comp. But this is the fourth one for the 24th Alaska Legislature. And another big waste of time and money.
Yeah, no question there. But, you know, not short on entertainment value and honestly talk radio fodder. We've been talking, of course, about how first the House and then the Senate, which you two are a part of, defied the Alaska Supreme Court. They passed two laws, one of them calling for a statewide advisory vote in the spring election on whether to have a constitutional amendment to bar same-sex couples from receiving employment benefits, another to make it a crime for the Department of Administration to comply with the Supreme Court's order to give those benefits out.
Actually, the criminal aspect was taken out. That was reconsidered by some of the more level-headed Republicans. So it was the bill that passed did disallow the Commissioner of Administration from doing such a thing.
But it didn't criminalize
For Scott Nordstrand.
Right.
I'm sure he...
Well they were going to make it retroactive.
They were.
And
it's going to be retroactive and a criminal penalty, and that part didn't happen. But the first thing that happened in the first segment of the fourth special session was a concurrent resolution from both bodies to the Supreme Court asking for more time. Mm-hmm. And, of course, almost a year and a half has gone by when the legislature could have grappled with this issue, but was loath to do so leading up to an election. And in the inimitable words of Representative Les Guerra, one of my buddies on the Democratic side, it could have been, the same thing could have been accomplished. A non-binding resolution is equal to a letter to the court, a 39-cent stamp, mm-hmm. and those who chose to sign could sign to the court saying, give us more time, and the judiciary is out of control. A lot of very stock rhetoric to fire up the Republican base voters. They could have accomplished the same thing with the stamp instead of the $60,000 to gear up a special session and the $25,000 a day it takes to run the show.
Well, they spent all their stamp money on Governor Murkowski's pamphlet about what a great job he's done. But that's another story. We're going to talk about that a little bit later.
Yes.
It's not too late for Murkowski bashing because he's not going out quietly.
The gift that keeps on giving, Aaron.
Oh, man. Well, we'll get to that in a second. But on this issue, is this a precedent, Senator Ellis? You've been in the legislature for 20 years. And have you ever seen the legislature defy the Supreme Court? I mean, I've always thought that when it came to constitutional questions, the dead end of the road is the Supreme Court, and it wasn't like they were ambiguous about it. It was a 5-0 unanimous vote. I've said on the show all week, and I'll tell you, Senator Ellis, and I know you weren't one of the – you voted against this.
Correct.
But if I were the Supreme Court, I would hold the entire Alaska legislature in contempt of court, have them all rounded up and arrested.
Well, you know, it's absolutely will you visit me in prison if
I'll bring you a care package.
The Republicans haven't been very protective of the legislative prerogatives for the 4 years that Frank Murkowski was governor. You remember the elect all Republicans to the governorship and mm-hmm. to the legislature, one-party government, the stars will be aligned for wonderful things to happen. And, of course, we know how tragically that all turned out.
The stars were aligned, all right.
But there were 3 years of the Murkowski administration where the Republicans wrapped themselves very closely with Frank Murkowski and did not stand up for legislative prerogatives vis-a-vis the executive branch. There were times when we were calling on our Republican colleagues to defend legislative prerogatives from the executive branch. With the judicial branch, it's very rare. But on gay benefits, they thought that it was the time that their base voters, their conservative supporters were asking them to defy the activist judges. There's a whole Republican script that goes here with mm-hmm. defying the court. And as you point out, it was the conservative members of the Alaska Supreme Court who had no problem with a very clear ruling.
Five to nothing. nothing decision. I mean, you know, you can say what you want about activist judges, but it seems like they were interpreting the Equal Protection Clause of the Alaska State Constitution. Bill Willikowski, I want to get your thoughts on this, but we've got to take a short break here first. 929-5160, the telephone number, folks, if you'd like to jump into the conversation. I'm your host, Aaron Selbig. We'll be right back after these messages. And welcome back, folks. 4:58 in the Anchorage Bowl. We've just got a couple of minutes before Air America News at the top of the hour. We will continue, however, an hour or two with the demo memo and our guests, Senator Johnny Ellis and Senator-elect Bill Willikowski. Now, Bill, you don't take the reins of the new legislature until January, but, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if you visit this issue, the same-sex employee benefits. This is something that was not a problem for Juneau. They've had these benefits for a long time. Was not a problem for Anchorage. They wrote their plan based on what Juneau had done. The state, different story. Seems to be a lot of political grandstanding going on. If you go down there and you face this issue next year, where do you stand on it, and what would you like to see happen to come to some kind of reasonable conclusion?
I think I have two different thoughts on this. Number one is we have three different branches of government, and no one branch it takes precedence over another branch. They're all co-equal, and they're all supposed to provide checks and balances. And so one branch of government just simply cannot disregard another branch of government. That's just, you know, basic common constitutional law. And the second thing, the one thing that really surprised me out of all this was just the fact that we're going to have an advisory vote that's going to cost the state $1 million. That just blows my mind, the fact that we are going to be blowing $1 million. Do we have things that we could be spending $1 million on that are better than this? I don't know. It's just, that's the one thing that really blows my mind on this.
Very good. Bill Willikowski and Senator Johnny Ellis, our guests. Air America News coming up right now. We will continue on the other side with more of the Demo Memo on the Aaron Selbig Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Kudo 1080 AM, your progressive voice in Anchorage. Change in the air here on the Aaron Selbig Show.
And a lot of changes in the state Senate, Aaron.
Oh, there couldn't be
it's
more
exciting.
Changes. It certainly is. 929-5160, the telephone number. If you would like to get involved in the demo memo, that voice you just heard, Senator Johnny Ellis, also at the table with us today, Senator-elect Bill Willikowski from Senate District J. And we've got Rod on line one. Let's go straight to the phones to line one and Rod. Hi, Rod. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks. First, I'd like to congratulate Bill Willikowski. You ran a great race in the east side, and congratulations on your win out there.
Thanks, Rod. Appreciate it.
My issue and my concern is what is education funding going to look like here and what can this new coalition do to build the potential for education funding? Also, I'm quite concerned about the retirement program for our state employees. I think that it SB 141 was very wrong-headed, and I'd like to have your thoughts on where that's going and how that looks in this in that next one. On education funding, too, if you could, I don't know what your thoughts are, but I did hear that our new governor is interested in a very lean package, and I don't know if that refers to education or not. I'll leave you to those questions, and I'll take my answer off the air.
Great. Thanks, Rod. Good questions, both of them. Education funding?
Sure. Rod, thanks for your call. It was a concern during the campaign for governor that Sarah Palin didn't really put forward an education plan. Former Governor Knowles and Andrew Helcro were far more specific about trying to do a better job with education in the state. And I think Sarah Palin probably has the right goals, but there was a lack of specificity there. So we're anxious to sit down with her and figure out what she really wants to accomplish there. And we've been following, of course, all legislators have been following the Moore versus the state of Alaska on the issue of adequacy, true adequacy. You know, politicians sometimes can confuse the issue and talk about full funding for education under the existing state foundation formula. Full funding has never been adequate funding across this state of Alaska. So we're waiting, anticipating the court's decision in that and what the direction will be in terms of directions to the state or suggestions to the state for more adequate funding of education. Governor Murkowski, to his credit, took us in the right direction. He claims in his booklet there that he sent out to all super voters a 34% increase over 4 years in education operational expenditures. Of course, that hasn't kept up with the rate of inflation and the needs of kids under No Child Left Behind. So there's a lot to do, but I think this legislative majority is committed to doing a better job. How much and when is still an open question.
Now, Rod's other question related to the retirement system and SB 141. Senator Ellis, Senator-elect Willikowski, how likely do you think it is that SB 141 will be revisited in the next legislature, and should it?
Well, I absolutely think it should. I know that most of the candidates that I heard from, I know my opponent and a lot of Republicans and Democrats alike, all said we need to revisit SB 141. There was a pretty much a consensus, at least that I heard from a lot of the candidates, that SB 141 was just a horrible bill. It doesn't solve the problem that we have in terms of the underfunding. And in fact, a lot of people think it makes it a whole lot worse. So I, you know, from my perspective, I'd like to see it revisited. I know there were a lot of candidates who were elected and will be serving now who did run saying that they would revisit it. So I'm hopeful that it will be.
Senator Ellis, with this new majority in the Senate with 9 Democrats and 5 Republicans, are you hoping that it'll be more likely that issues like this, say revisiting Senate Bill 141, which I could see in the past legislature being held up in a Republican-controlled committee, are you hopeful that things like that will be more likely to see a full Senate vote, get a fair hearing in the Senate?
Oh, absolutely. I think there will be a much more open kind of conversation about things because the working group crosses partisan lines, so I think that kind of openness an open debate will be very healthy for that kind of issue and other issues as well. I do believe, regardless of what happens with any specific legislation, there will be major money put forward to help local governments, school districts, and local municipalities deal with the PERS and TERS issue. Governor Murkowski suggested $500 million as a down payment against the unfunded liability. So I think, and that's gaining steam with Municipal League and others. So I think that you will see a major commitment of funding to help out local governments. Sarah Palin ran on talking about some sort of hybrid plan, and she never got very specific. We don't know exactly what she meant. But I've talked to some folks, some of our labor friends, who have talked about coming up with, you know, taking her at her word about a hybrid plan and coming up with something that's a creative solution or a change to SB 141 that is a defined contribution and a defined benefit that wouldn't cost anything more but would be a better deal for employees and help us attract and retain those employees in the future, teachers and state workers. So I'm looking at a very exciting opportunity for some creativity to address the issue. I don't think it'll be done in one fell swoop, but some incremental progress is very much called for.
5:13 in the Anchorage Bowl. We're going to take a short break here. We'll be right back with more of the Demo Memo. Senator Johnny Ellis and Senator-elect Bill Willikowski, our guest today. 929-5160, the telephone number. We love you. We love your calls. We'll be right back. You're tuned into the Aaron Selbig Show on Kudo 1080 AM. This is our regular Friday feature, the Demo Memo. Senator Johnny Ellis and Senator-elect Bill Willikowski are guests in the studio. If you've got a question or comment for these gentlemen, 929-5160, the telephone number. We love our callers, and gentlemen, if you don't mind, we've got one on line one. Let's go there and to Will. Hey, Will, you're on the air with Senator Ellis and Senator-elect Willikowski.
Hey, gentlemen. First of all, belated happy Thanksgiving to you and your family and the loved ones.
Same to you, Will.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's my... Let's see if I can jump right to it, right, Aaron?
Yes, please do.
here's what it seems to me. There's so many things that need to be discussed, and their complexity and their interwovenness in the many sectors of our society. I don't see how Sarah could have had specificity, because many of these problems take long dialogue and excruciating detail and testimony to be able to resolve, to even format for an idea. So it seems to me that our infrastructure is failing us. So I'd like to ask you, gentlemen, if you'd be willing to host a dialogue in depth to actually restructure and hone your legislative body that represents us. So I think the next thing would be, well, what would you have in mind? It would seem to me that you being in Juneau, you're detached from us, number one. Number two is that we need to be able to put you on a full-blown salary and then take that salary and pay you half of that. And at the end of the year, you still continue to exhibit character and full enthusiasm. You get the balance of the salary. But we need some way to terminate the official. Now, in addition to that, we need to be able to see your debate about the issue. We need to be able to disassemble it on television in detail so that the greater body, the collective body of which you represent symbolically, can give you feedback with a greater mentality. Now, I don't want to make this too quasi-intellectual, but do you see what I'm saying here? We need to fix the infrastructure which you represent in order to really engage some of these problems, is my belief.
All right. Thanks a lot, Will.
I want to stay on here, right?
Okay, but let's try to keep this brief. We have a limited amount of time. Gentlemen?
Well, you know, I think he raises some interesting points. In a democracy, you want to have as much debate as you can. And I think there are programs. I don't know that all Alaskans have access to it, but we do have Gavel to Gavel. And that's on TV and it's on the internet. And so that's one way that people can watch what's going on and keep in touch. You know, I'm certainly always open to suggestions on ways that we can improve the legislature and look for efficiencies. You know, I don't think anybody wants to go down and have a government that's detached and have a government that's not accurately, truly representing the people. So from my perspective, and I think I speak for Senator Ellis as well, you know, we're certainly open to ways that we can go about having a more efficient democracy, one that's more in tune with what the people of Alaska want.
Well, here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to suggest that we have that. What we need to do is to come here to the Marston Theater, the Williams, or something like that, and put cameras on and have all-day meetings with the politicians with an agenda to be able to come and contribute. See, there's just no way for us to engage as a collective body there in a large crowd in some uniform method of testimony and cross-examination of the positions, and then let the larger body here participate. This thing about gavel to gavel, I'm familiar with that, but if you watch it, there's no split screen. It's a very isolated area. The testimony is limited. You don't know what's coming. You can't come back to redress. So it's like a pretend area where, hey, we're accountable, but you're really not. So I would like to see a greater body of people come together and restructure and use you folks as the bar and the standard under which we bring back the representation, because you've got to admit this. The problems are becoming more complex. I mean, I'm seeing unbelievable negotiations behind closed doors, public's business being conducted in private. I'm seeing wild accusations and emotional hyperbole. And it's just something's terribly, terribly wrong, gentlemen. I think we all sense that, right?
Well,
all I'm saying is, I'd be willing to work, and I'm not looking for recognition or some type of public exposure, but I'd like to be a participant to be able to make contributions, and please keep me in mind, because I really think Alaska has a chance to set the next legacy for how we represent our society, and everything takes an evolution in it, and you have to change to absorb those things and move on, and I really think something is wrong, and Alaska has a wonderful chance to change that. So I'll jump off here with that statement.
Thanks a lot, Will.
Coming forward to the public and hearing, okay?
Appreciate it. Mm-hmm. Senator Ellis, you know, Will does, he represents probably the feelings of a lot of Alaskans, especially given the recent climate of behind-closed-door meetings. Do you think, do you hope that the next legislature, 2007, will be more open to the public?
Absolutely. You know, we conducted a lot of open caucuses during the legislative session, and the press was only rarely there. Citizens were only rarely there. We conducted Anchorage caucus meetings here in Anchorage at the Assembly Chambers, and not in the Wilde Marston Theater, but in the Assembly Chambers. And there was a pretty good turnout. Actually, last year it was at the university. And so there will be those opportunities in the future. And I really encourage people like Will and others to take advantage of those opportunities. And if there are specific suggestions of new ways of doing that, we're definitely open, as Bill said.
All right, we've got to take a short break here on the Aaron Selbig Show. We'll return with more of the Demo Memo and our guests, Senator Johnny Ellis and Senator-elect Bill Willikowski.
You're listening to the Aaron Selbig Show on your progressive voice for Alaska, KUDO, 1080 AM, Anchorage.
And welcome back, folks. 525 in the Anchorage Bowl. Let's just jump back into the phone lines to line two and Neil. Hi, Neil. You're on the air with Senator Ellis and Senator-elect Willikowski.
First of all, I'm a progressive Democrat. It warms my heart that we finally actually won some seats.
Woohoo!
It was a big night.
It was a big night. My concern is House Bill 141. If you guys revisit it, I'd like to see if you can go and the new state employees that were hired after a certain date, if they can get into the defined contribution plan.
Senate Bill 141.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure, I guess from my perspective anyway, there is a gap. New employees as of, I think, July 1.
Benefit, excuse me.
New employees as of July 1 are all going into Tier 4, which isn't, I don't want to get too techno.
Let me help you out. It stinks.
Yeah, no, I think a lot of us agree with that, Neil. And one of the things, it's going to be up for negotiation when we go ahead and do revisit this. Like I said before, a lot of the candidates campaigned on revisiting this bill, and that's going to be something that is open for discussion. And I certainly would support creating, because if you talk to state employees and teachers and firefighters and police officers, they'll tell you this is already beginning to affect our recruitment, and this is really going to have a huge, huge impact on our ability to attract and retain good qualified firefighters, police officers, teachers, nurses, public employees, you name it. This is going to have a huge, huge impact on our state.
The Anchorage Police Department, a good example. They're almost getting desperate for recruitment. I understand the state troopers having a similar problem as well. Neil, what would you like to see? What do you think would be a good solution to this? Does it just need to be undone?
We just need to undo the whole situation and be done with it. And furthermore, don't let them beat you down, guys.
Oh, no, they're not going to sap our spirit.
I don't think we're in any danger of that. We got a couple of fighters at the table here today.
Well, you keep up the good work, and I'm pulling for you.
Thanks, Neil.
Thank you, Neil.
Bye. Thanks, Neil. Appreciate it. First of all, let me ask you guys, can you stick around a little while after the bottom of the hour break?
A little bit.
I know, Johnny, I always ask you to do this, and you usually do. Senator-elect Willikowski,
absolutely.
Is that absolutely okay?
Absolutely.
Good, because I have got to get to this wonderful full-color. It's almost like if it didn't say Governor Frank Murkowski in big letters on the front of it, you'd think it was a travel brochure for one of the cruise lines or something. Governor Frank Murkowski spent God knows how much state taxpayer money to send out a book of his accomplishments to each and every super voter. Now, my first question, Senator Ellis, I haven't seen this until you brought in a copy today. I'm holding it in my hand right now. I'm a super voter. Where's mine?
They must have blacklisted you. You've been discriminated against.
That's what I think, too. I want to know what's going on around here.
Hey, Frank Murkowski knows who Aaron Selbig is. I doubt that Senator Kim Elton got one as well for keeping track of the governor's jet all these months.
He's got a whole list of things in here. He's claiming credit for the funding of education. I don't see anything in there about how a boost in oil prices had anything to do with that. Reforming the government, taking credit for that. Growing the economy, putting Alaskans to work. There's a lot of handsome pictures in here. And it says down there in small letters that it cost 18 cents per copy.
Aaron, let's be fair. And I know that's difficult on talk radio, But every governor is concerned about their legacy or their accomplishments, making sure, it's a rule of nature or law of nature that politicians have to blow their own horn to get reelected. We're past that with Governor Murkowski here, but he is a man concerned with his legacy and what Alaskans think of him in future years.
He is?
And so every apparently so.
Doesn't seem like it.
It's an exercise that I think made him feel better, but – you know, everybody puts out a list of accomplishments or a brochure, but I think Murkowski's taken it to a whole new level of mailing this out statewide to, I suppose, super voting households across the state. Everybody except Aaron Selby.
I just don't think that. I think the guy just doesn't get it. He still hasn't come to grips with the fact that he came in a distant third in his own party primary and is probably the least popular governor we've ever had. We're going to continue with more of the Demo Memo after a short break. .35 in the Anchorage Bowl. It is Friday, the day after Thanksgiving. Hope everybody had a pleasant Thanksgiving day. Demo Memo today, we're extending it. We're in overtime here on the Demo Memo with Senator Johnny Ellis and Senator-elect Bill Willikowski.
It's Black Friday.
Black Friday.
Black is beautiful.
Buy Nothing Day as well.
As a former small business owner, it's the big day for retail, and yes. I always lived for this day.
Yeah, well, it's something that not only is a boost, it's something they count on now.
Absolutely.
It's something that's definitely part of their game plan. A lot of people out there shopping today. But if you're done, folks, if you survived the chaos at the mall, or if you waited all night in line at Best Buy like some hardy people and your home tuned into the radio, well, relax. Give us a call. We'll try to speak in calm tones. Everybody a little overworked today.
Chill out.
Senator Ellis, we were looking at Governor Frank Murkowski's accomplishment booklet. And, you know, we were talking about this. JR and got one over at his house. And the conversation with him, his roommates, and his friends wasn't so much, you know, about Governor Murkowski's accomplishments, but who is this guy? What's wrong with him? I mean, I think the first question out of most people's mouths is, how much did this cost? How much is he spending to tell everybody about his accomplishments? Is the guy really this out of touch?
The sort of, it's time for him to go, and this is insult to injury, past time to go. That conversation, I think, was repeated all over the place at my Turkey Day celebration. The folks there were talking about writing letters to the editor, and they were asking me, have other governors done this? And the answer is yes. Other governors have put together pieces of paper or brochures about what they've accomplished on their way out of office. But I think Murkowski has taken it to a new level of public expense and bragging and sending this statewide to folks that may not be all that interested and are ready to move on to a new governor.
You know, speaking of moving on to a new governor, I'm certainly personally I'm ready to do that as well. Frank Murkowski has been entertaining at times, but overall damaging to the state. I want to talk about the incoming Palin administration. She will be inaugurated a week from Monday up in Fairbanks. We'll talk about that. But first, let's go to the phones. We've got a caller on line one. This is Pat. Hi, Pat. You're on the air.
Hi there. Well, I wasn't going to focus so much on Sarah, but I was another issue.
That's fine.
And that is just, you know, I'm still happy to hell about the election results and still celebrating that. And I feel like the biggest contributing factor to that, to the national election was what took place in 2005. And the biggest thing that happened for November for the local level was what happened in June, because on the national level is when they had all the selections and people came for office, and the Republicans had a problem, getting people, and the Democrats got great people. And on this time around, the Democrats on the local level in June, we got a lot of great candidates. We had less contested, we had more uncontested races than the Republicans did, as I understand. And so it's just a great deal. I'm looking ahead at 2008, and if people were looking at the legislature, they need to know the issues, they need to have people do things early. When do people, how do people get involved today, and what people ought to be encouraged to be thinking about 2008 if they're going to be as successful then as we were in 2006?
Well, thanks for the call.
Thanks, Pat.
I think, you know, they say that your reelection campaign starts the day after your election. And I think that's true for 2008. You know, if people are interested in running, they need to start thinking about that now. And they need to start getting out. And, you know, the best thing you can do is just get involved in your community. Get out there and go to your community council meetings and go to your planning and zoning meetings and get involved and find out what's going on out in the community and get involved and become a leader. That's what people want. That's, I think, what I take away from this. You know, I've been involved in my community for years and years, and it just gave me a real solid base to take off from, and it helped me know the issues in my community.
And that was the real strength of Democratic candidates. It was people like Willikowski who started early and was a real leader over there in Northeast Anchorage on the Planning and Zoning Commission. And he just really reflected what people in that district were thinking because he'd lived it and breathed it as a neighbor over in Northeast Anchorage. That was the strength of Democratic candidates, the door knocking, the shoe leather, and then actually being people that come up from the grassroots out of the community. And the people responded very positively to that.
I'm thinking of Lindsay Holmes as well. Lindsay Holmes elected, same kind of deal, a community leader active in her neighborhood, and she got elected as well. That says a lot. You know, when somebody comes up through the community council, is known in the neighborhood as being someone who is engaged and involved, I think that, you know, party even kind of falls by the wayside. People look for...
If you look at the Democrats that did well, and, you know, you look at guys like Joe Thomas, who's been just, lived in Fairbanks forever, and he's been real active in the community there. Bob Book's been active in his community out there. Lindsay Holmes, like you said. Mm-hmm. So that I think that really is key, and the door knocking is also critical. You got to get out and hit the doors, talk to your neighbors, mm-hmm. find out what they're talking about.
But if folks do want to run for office, they ought to get in touch with their local office of their political party. And everybody knows Kay Brown is the mm-hmm. campaign or candidate recruiter extraordinaire. But she's working with scores of people all across the state to really keep electing progressive people, take back your government, let's not have any more concerns with the division of elections, and just really clean things up as best we can. And people are committed to that this year.
And it's coming from the top. You know, Howard Dean, the chairman of the DNC, is looking like a genius these days.
He really is.
His theory about his 50-state strategy, which did bring people, money, and effort here into Alaska and into races, into districts that were considered off-limits, where Republican strongholds, it's working, you know, and some of that controversy's fallen by the wayside. He's come out looking pretty sharp.
I think a lot of Alaskans, a lot of Democratic Alaskans, were very skeptical of Howard Dean when he talked to, you know, when he was running for the DNC chair, and I think now he's just proven to be a genius. I mean, it's just paid off, really.
There's no such thing as unwinnable seats for Democrats. Maybe the Republicans will steal a page out of that handbook. They probably should. We've only got a couple of minutes left, gentlemen. I want to talk to you about the incoming Palin administration. First of all, what did you think, Senator Ellis, about her decision to be inaugurated in Fairbanks to commemorate the 50th anniversary of the ratification of the Constitution?
Well, I thought it was an interesting move on her part. You know, there was a lot of speculation among the political chattering class about her, you know, getting back at Southeast or Juneau.
Slap to Juneau.
And only Sarah Palin knows what's in her heart. If there's anything about Southeast or being upset or aggravated with them, she probably has enough class and smarts as a politician not to verbalize that. So she's taking it on the road out of Southeast up to Fairbanks, and a good reason to be in Fairbanks is to touch that part of the community that supported her very strongly in the gubernatorial election, and to honor the framers of the Constitution, friends of ours like Senator Vic Fisher. And then there's also the Republican touchstones like former State Senator John Coghill or Jack Coghill. So it was a deft political move on her part. She achieved several goals in one fell swoop.
You know, I kind of looked at it like I can understand how folks in Southeast and Juneau, where they didn't vote for Sarah Palin, they might feel it was a political maneuver, might feel left out. If she had decided to be inaugurated in Wasilla, I would probably be on board with that. But I think a lot of folks, personally myself included, are willing to accept her reasons at face value.
Well, that wouldn't have been a deft political maneuver. That would have been an in-your-face confirmation of the stumble that she made, the verbal blunder there that Knowles tried to exploit about being self-centered toward or biased toward the Matsu Valley. So she couldn't have taken it out of Juneau and gone to Wasilla without creating some really hard feelings. But like I said, Fairbanks was a deft maneuver.
Senator-elect Willikowski, have you talked to Governor-elect Palin recently throughout the campaign or since you won? And whether you have or not, what are your hopes of being able to come in new and work with a governor who's also new with all this change in the air in Juneau?
You know, I'm open, and I think Alaskans should be open to giving her a chance. And, you know, she ran a good campaign. And I saw her at a few campaign events. I didn't spend a whole lot of time talking to her, but I'm willing to go into the giving the Pelham administration an open mind, and she made some promises that and I think people really responded to her call for ethical and open and honest government and transparency in government and adherence to the Constitution. And I'm more than willing, and I think most Democrats in the legislature are willing and want to go in with, you know, hey, let's work together and let's try to find solutions for a gas line and for a better government.
Gentlemen, we're plumb out of time. Thank you both for joining us. Senator Ellis, we'll see you next Friday.
Absolutely.
More Demo Memo coming up next Friday. Senator-elect Wilikowski, good to see you. Thanks for taking time out to come in. And again, congratulations.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Very big victory for you out there.
Senator-elect Wilikowski, that's got a great ring to it.
It's a bit of a mouthful, but once you get used to it, it does indeed have a ring to it. Absolutely. We're glad to have you down there in Juneau. I know a lot of folks on the east side are really looking forward to seeing what you can do down there.
I'm excited
Good
about
luck
it.
To you.
Thank
well,
you.
We'll talk to you again soon. It is 5:45 in the Anchorage Bowl. We're going to take a short break here. When we come back, have you heard about Fox News is thinking about... No, they're not thinking about it. They are. They're developing a Daily Show-style satirical comedy for conservatives. I thought they already had that. I thought it was called the Bill O'Reilly Factor. We're going to take a short break here. When we come back, we'll talk about it. 929-5160, the telephone number. We'll be right back.